It should come as no surprise that the current property boom is going to create a new generation of wealthy Australians. However, if history repeats itself, most people who get into property investment this cycle won't develop the financial independence that they deserve. Like in previous cycles, most won't get past their first or second property. But today I want to share with you 40 investment lessons that I learned in the last 40 years. This is part two of a two-part series. And if you didn't listen to the last episode, after you've listened to my show today, you don't have to listen to them in sequence. Go back to whichever podcast app you're listening to this and listen to the first part of the 40 investment lessons that I've learned, because I believe they're going to be fundamental in helping you not be one of the casualties of this property cycle. Now, this is part of the summer series of the Michael Yardney podcast. Regular listeners would know we produce two shows a week, but over January we're going to be offering you three shows each week, a combination of new shows to keep you updated, and ones like this, which is a republication of one of my previous shows, but one that I believe is going to help you with the fundamentals to make you a more successful property investor. So, welcome to today's show. Our current property boom is going to create a whole new generation of wealthy Australians. But since most people who get involved in property don't become financially independent, last week I started this special series of two podcasts sharing 40 property investment lessons that I learned over the last 40 years in the hope of evening the odds in your favour and allowing you to become a successful property investor and creating lifetime wealth rather than a statistic. Because remember, most property investors don't get past their second investment property. In fact, 92% don't. 70% don't get past one property. And that's for those who stay in the game, because 50% of those who buy an investment property, even during good times like this, end up selling over the first 5 years. Now, if you didn't listen to the last episode, doesn't matter, you don't have to do it in order, but I suggest that you do. And if you don't already, why not subscribe to this podcast so you keep getting all the episodes? But last week I shared 20 of the investment lessons, and now I'm going to share the next 20 property investment lessons with you. So welcome to today's show.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropol, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Last week, I started this two-part series of 40 property investment lessons I learned in the last 40 years. And I took you back to 1980, 1981, and asked, with the benefit of hindsight, would you have bought an investment property knowing what you know now? And I bet you would have said yes, because the median value of Sydney properties way back then was $68,500, and you could buy a median price property in Melbourne for $40,000. But I also explained to you that if you didn't know what was ahead, and I warned you about the recessions that were coming, the removal of negative gearing in 1987, the stock market crash, the high interest rates, the low interest rates, the government changes, and all the pandemics that would have occurred in the ensuing 40 years, you may have been nervous or worried. So what I wanted to share with you in this series of two podcasts was the lessons I have learned to make me a better property investor. So let's see if we can help you with the success that you want out of property moving forward. Now, again, if you haven't listened to last week's podcast, please listen to it, because it's a good introduction, as now I share another 20 lessons. So the first lesson I'd like to share with you today is that nobody really knows what's going to happen to the property markets in Australia. There are 25 million property experts in Australia. Everyone has got an opinion about property. But do you know what they say about opinions, don't you? They're like belly buttons. Everyone's got one, but they're basically useless. So be careful to who you listen to. Sure, it's important to have mentors. I explained that last week. But make sure you're listening to somebody who's not only built their own substantial property portfolio, but somebody who's kept their wealth through a number of cycles. There are too many enthusiastic amateurs out there at the moment offering investment advice. We're seeing this in the advice area. We're also seeing this particularly in the bias agency area, where there's lots of, again, well-meaning, but enthusiastic amateurs saying they're going to help you buy your next investment property, but they don't have the experience, they don't have the perspective that's required to actually give you good value for money. Second lesson I'd like to share with you today is don't listen to who most people listen to for property advice. When we did our property investment sentiment survey at the end of last year, we found people were asking their accountants, their mortgage brokers, financial planners, even real estate agents. Really? Look, accountants are good at doing your tax. Mortgage brokers can help you get a loan. Financial planners are good at minimizing your risks. But none of these professionals are well positioned to give you property investment advice. In fact, giving advice on property investment isn't actually a licensed area. You don't need any sort of qualifications. And that's one of the reasons we were foundation members of the Property Investment Professionals Association, PIPA, to try and get licensing, to try and get professionalism into property advice, but there isn't at the moment. So you'll often find people who give you advice, like accountants, like mortgage brokers, like financial planners, are going to send you to somebody who pay them a commission to do that. Guess who ends up paying for that commission that they get? That's right, you. So again, don't listen to who most people listen to. Don't listen to friends and family. Get a good team around you to protect you, to level the playing field. The third lesson today is that timing the property markets is just too hard. The experts can't do it. The bottom of the market and the top of the market really is only, I don't know, one day, one week, one month, and it doesn't matter. It's much better to buy the best assets you can afford and hold it for the long term. The truth is, successful investors know how to create wealth at any point in the cycle. Have you noticed how some investors do well in good times? They even do well in bad times. Market timing isn't really important to them, is it? On the other hand, I've seen lots of investors who do poorly in good times and even worse in bad times. Market timing doesn't seem to have much effect on them either. Interesting, isn't it? So rather than trying to time the market, whether it's a home or an investment property you're looking for, when your finances are right, there will be opportunities. But make sure you buy an investment grade property, because remember, most properties aren't investment grade. Currently, there's probably only 4 or 5% of the properties on the market that I would class investment grade. That actually leads me into the next point, which is any property can become an investment property. You just kick out the owner and put a tenant in and it becomes an investment. But as I said, probably less than 4 or 5% of the properties currently on the market are what I call investment grade, ones that are going to deliver wealth-producing rates of return. The fifth lesson today is don't rely entirely on property data. Property data can be misleading and it can be twisted to say almost anything. For example, median prices, one of the most commonly quoted sets of property data, really don't tell you what the value of certain houses, your house, the investment you're looking for, is going to be worth or have, if it's gone up or not in value. It gives an indication of the middle figure of all the properties sold. And last year, during the difficult times the coronavirus pandemic brought us, last year, a lot of cheaper properties were sold. High-end properties, people didn't have to sell. So that in some ways brought the median price down, but it didn't mean the value of all properties went down. So don't rely entirely on property data is the fifth lesson, which leads into my sixth lesson today, that property investment is part science and part art. You need to understand the property data. That's the science. But you also need the on-the-ground perspective to employ that data. That's the art part of it. So, how can you develop that? How can you develop the perspective? Bottom line is, you can't. You will never have the perspective that the buyer's agents at Metropole have, because for 10, 15 years they were selling agents in the areas the experts now in buying property, and they're inspecting properties all the time. They're property investors themselves. They've got dealings with estate agents. They see what buys, what sells, what resells over the years, and what works well and doesn't. So level the playing field, get the right people on your side so you can get the data, you can get the science, but if you don't have the art bit, the perspective, you're going to miss out. I know I've got a vested interest, but my vested interest is to help you, so why not have a look at what my team at Metropole does to see how they can help you. The next lesson today is that there are four ways you make money out of your property. Capital growth is one, rental return, two, tax benefits, three, and forced appreciation or manufacturing capital growth through renovations or property development is four. So there's different ways you can get income from property, but not all those streams of income are equal. In my mind, tax-free capital growth is the most important one. If you think about it, when you retire, when you get to your golden years, most of the asset base you've got, or you'll have, isn't money that you've earned, isn't rent that you've got, isn't money that you've saved. It'll be the tax-free capital growth of your investment assets. So that's why it's important to invest for capital growth. But that leads into lesson number eight today. Cash flow is important to keep you in the property game, but it's capital growth that'll get you out of the rat race. So you need a combination of both. You need to plan. You need to have a property strategy. By the way, buying a property isn't a strategy. Having a finance plan, having the right ownership structure is a property strategy. Knowing what you need to do, when you need to do it to get to where you want to get to, that's a strategy. The ninth lesson today is you'll never get rich from earned income or savings. You need to make your money work hard for you, even when you're asleep. So invest in income-producing residential real estate and then use the power of leverage, compounding, and time to grow your wealth. The 10th lesson today is location will do about 80% of the heavy lifting of your property portfolio. Basically, location trumps everything. So it's location that grows not just the value of your property, but also the rental income. In previous podcasts, we've spoken about what sort of locations are going to outperform moving forward. And in general, it's going to be the more affluent inner and middle ring suburbs of our capital cities, but not all suburbs. Suburbs where there's going to be lifestyle, amenity, desirability, a 20-minute neighborhood, as we've discussed in previous shows, is going to be very important. As we go through the 40 lessons that I've learned in 40 years, we're 3/4 of the way through. And lesson number 30 of the 40 was location will do around 80% of the heavy lifting. The 11th lesson I'd like to share with you today, though, is be greedy when others are fearful and be fearful when others are greedy. That's Warren Buffett saying, of course, isn't it? But what I guess I'm suggesting is don't follow the crowd, because the crowd's either wrong or usually late to the party. Remember, you shouldn't be doing what most property investors are doing. That's actually my 12th lesson today, because the majority of property investors fail. It was a number of years ago I read a study from the AHRIU. I haven't seen it updated, but it showed that 50% of people who get in property investments sell up in the first 5 years. And what we've seen from clients we've been speaking to, not clients that we bought properties for, but others who bought done properties elsewhere, that's true. In fact, 20% sell up in the first 2 years. And of those who stay in the market, 90% of investors never get past their first or second property. So while the tax department shows us that there are 2.1 million property investors in Australia, 90% never get past one or two properties. Less than 20,000 end up owning, or just over 20,000 end up owning six or more properties. Now, interestingly, when Kate Forbes, my business partner, dug into these statistics in more detail and how the clients of Metropole perform, how their portfolios performed, how big their portfolios are, we have 7 times more people than average in that group that has six or more properties. In other words, by having a strategic plan and by doing the right thing, and just as importantly, not doing the wrong thing, our clients have managed to build a substantial asset base. So the 12th lesson is don't do what most property investors do, because most property investors get it wrong. I think one of the lessons last week was don't listen to who other people listen to, because again, you're going to get it wrong. The next lesson I'd like to share with you today is treat your property investments like a business. Property investment should be a business, but not with as many moving parts as your real business. So don't treating it like a business, try and let it on Airbnb or clean up or collect the rents yourself. But what I'm pointing out is that there's no room for emotion. So what you should be doing is treating your property investments like a business by having a plan, by regularly reviewing them, preferably with somebody who's independent, who's not as subjective as you. The 14th lesson today is there's no room for emotions in property investment. So track your cash flow regularly. Regularly review your property values. Regularly review the performance of your property portfolio. And make sure you're using decisions based on evidence, not an emotion. So when we do client reviews with our clients at Metropole Annual Review, you'll find that they've got a lot of vested emotion. They've spent time, energy, money, effort buying their investments. They don't like hearing, they don't like seeing if they haven't worked well. Now, again, this isn't usually for properties that we've bought them, but properties that they've brought in before they've started working for us. So track your property's performance carefully by doing regular reviews and asking questions like, is the property performing like I would have expected it to? Is there anything I can do to improve its performance? Knowing what I know now, would I buy that property again? Remember, we all have a borrowing limit, a borrowing ceiling, and that's all you can do. So if you can only own three or four properties, you may as well own the best three or four properties you can. So sometimes when you do these reviews, you've got to consider that maybe your employees in your property business aren't working as well as they should. Maybe it's time to sack them, pay a redundancy package and get another one, another employer. Now, 15th lesson today, don't look for fun or excitement in your investing. Property investment is meant to be boring, but it should give you the wherewithal to make the rest of your life exciting. So a lot of people like the fun of property investing, the searching, the researching, but that's again treating it emotionally and not like a business. The next lesson I'd like to share with you today is diversification is for people who don't know how to invest. Warren Buffett said that. Robert Kiyosaki said that. I know financial planners will tell you to diversify. But diversification is for those who want average results. I like to outperform by becoming an expert. You'll never become an expert by doing 100 things once, by diversifying. However, you can become a master by doing one thing 100 times. So my suggestion is to put all your eggs in one basket and look after that basket very carefully. So I invest in a small group of suburbs. I'm not going to diversify and go to other suburbs just to diversify when I've actually found areas that are going to outperform the averages. Lesson number 37 in my list of 40 lessons, or 17 today, is having the right mindset is critical to investment success. See, the outside world is a reflection of your inside world because your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions lead to your results. And that's why I wrote that book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, with Tom Cawley. And that's why every week during these podcasts, I give you a mindset message as well, because mindset is critical. And unfortunately, a lot of us are not taught how to do money. We are taught the wrong mindset by our parents, who are well-meaning but weren't rich, weren't wealthy. So we're driving around with one foot on the accelerator and one on the brake. So while we're trying to do things, we're also holding ourselves back. So an important part of your financial journey, of your growth, is to actually develop the right mindset. The first step is to realize where you're doing things wrong and then remove some of the disempowering beliefs and replace them with empowering beliefs. If you want to understand what I'm getting at, why not go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and get a copy of my book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, so you'll understand the way wealthy people think differently, because they do. Lesson 18 today is, while knowledge is important, successful investors take action. That's the big difference between successful business people, entrepreneurs and investors, and the average person. So don't fall into the trap of analysis paralysis. There'll always be risks when making investment decisions, but the biggest risk is actually not making any decision or taking action at all. Well, that's actually partly lesson 19 today. There's always risks associated with investing, but don't be afraid of failing, because the biggest risk, as I said, is not to protect your financial future. Sometimes negative experiences, mistakes and failures can be even better than success, because they teach you something new, something which you would never have learned if you'd just been successful. However, we're often so driven to try and get things right that we fail to see the value in getting things wrong. Instead, we spend time wishing we'd done things differently, or not done anything at all because the fear of making mistakes paralyzes us. If you get it wrong, learn from your mistakes. Make it count by doing it differently next time. One failure can, with time, create many successes. Now, of course, that doesn't mean you should try and fail, and you can minimize your risk of failing by getting a good team around you. My team at Metropol has helped clients get involved in over $4 billion worth of property transactions. Currently, our team in property management look after $2 billion worth of assets. So we know what works, we know what doesn't, and part of it is starting off by putting a strategic plan together for our clients. And by having a plan, it tells you what to do. More importantly, it tells you what not to do. So part of our job is to protect our clients. So while in today's environment, having a buyer's agent will be important to get the right property, and having a property strategist will be important to put a plan together, you actually need a more holistic approach that involves finance and tax and financial planning and structuring and estate planning. And that's what our plans at Metropol do to help you become the person you plan to become. We help you achieve what you want to achieve. Why not go to metropol.com.au and find out about the services my team provide so we can be part of your wealth creation journey. And the last of the 40 lessons I want to share with you today are: don't waste your time worrying. Most of the things you fear will never happen. They're just monsters in your mind. If they do happen, interestingly, they're not usually as bad as you expect. Spending time worrying is going to actually take away from time you can enjoy either identifying opportunities, taking action in your property investments, or enjoying your life with your family. So don't worry about things that haven't occurred. Hey, I'm going to give you one more tip because I said I was going to give you 40 lessons, but here's another one, 41. Never give up. You're going to have failures along the way. I'm a real success at failure. I've made mistakes in my personal life, in my business life, in my investing, not for a long time in my investing, but each time I've been knocked down, I got up again. You need resilience to be successful. So there you have it. 40 lessons I've learned over 4 decades of investing. But since I've been investing for almost 50 years, I've learned even more lessons along the way. So let me leave you with one more. Always continue learning. Markets will humble you if you don't check your ego at the door. So continue learning by reading the right books, by getting the right mentors, and by listening to the Michael Yardney podcast. And I'm going to be back twice a week to share my experience with you, but also that of a whole group of experts as well. Lots of information here. I've gone through 20 lessons last week, 20 this week, actually a couple of extras bonuses I've given you today. I hope that's going to help you take advantage of this new year and this new property cycle. So, as I said, there you have it, 40 lessons, lots to think about. I hope you learned something from those lessons today. If you want to learn even more lessons, I've got a special gift to you, a wide range of ebooks to add to your success library. Just go to podcastbonus.com.au, leave me your details, and you'll get exclusive access to a range of my ebooks. I'll leave a link in the show notes, but podcastbonus.com.au, and you'll get a link straight away to a wide range of ebooks that you can download and read at your leisure. Now, just following on from my comments a moment ago, before I share my mindset message with you, this is a changing market that we're in, one where not all property investors are going to become successful, despite the market moving. I guess there's a couple of reasons why that's going to happen, and one of them is FOMO kicking in and people making emotional and wrong investment decisions. I'm seeing that happening a lot at the moment. People compromising their standards. They're either not doing all the right due diligence, or they're buying in the wrong location, or they're just scared they're missing out. There's lots of reasons that FOMO is affecting investors at the moment, but there's a way of protecting yourself. And that's getting somebody on your side to give you direction, guidance, and ensure you get the right results by stopping making the same mistakes that unfortunately a lot of investors are going to. So whether you're a beginning investor or an experienced investor, why not get my team at Metropol on your side? Hey, we've won another award this year already as Australia's leading property investment consultants. So why not find out what we do? Go to metropol.com.au. We've got a wide range of services, and I'd love to be part of your ongoing wealth creation journey. We give strategic wealth and property advice. We don't sell property, which means my team's advice is independent. It's structured for you. It's customized for you, starting with a strategic property plan. And then if you want to, you can use our buyer's agency, our wealth advisory services, renovations, development, property management. I look forward to being part of your ongoing wealth creation journey.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
In my mindset message today, I'd like to explain to you that we're not crazy for doing crazy things with money. You've often heard me say that many people make irrational, emotional, financial decisions. So despite the fact that we think we're rational, when it comes to money, we're not. In fact, when it comes to many things, we're not. Look, we've all done crazy things with money. And let's be honest, we're likely to do some crazy things with money in the future too. But my chat with you today was inspired by something I just recently read in one of my favorite financial books, Morgan Housel's The Psychology of Money. And he said that we all do crazy stuff with money because we're all relatively new to the game. And what looks crazy to you may make sense to me. He said, no one's crazy. We all make decisions based on our unique experiences that seem to make sense to us in the given moment. Another way I've heard it said, an insight I learned from many of my readings over the years, and that's changed the way I look at the way people make what I see as silly decisions with their money and with their investments, is everything everyone does with money, no matter how silly it looks, makes perfect sense when considering the experiences that they'd had in life up to that moment. Now, let me give you an example. I see people who buy properties off the plan, and we know that in general it doesn't work, or buy house and land packages in outer areas, and it doesn't go up in value for a decade. And you think, how silly can they be? I put out the podcasts and the blogs, and so do so many other good advisors, and yet people keep making silly decisions. But never mind, no one wants to be wrong. No one wants to be silly. So I guess I've learned over time that everyone does everything with money, no matter how silly it looks, because at the time it makes perfect sense to them. So these insights aren't philosophical, not that there's anything wrong with that. They're psychological, some biological actually, much of it illuminated through the field of behavioral economics and behavioral finance. So there's a whole study of how people behave economically, behave with finance. And when I started learning about behavioral finance, it got me down a rabbit hole, which has helped me write a number of my books, including Rich Habits, Poor Habits with Tom Cawley, where we explain a lot about this. You see, understanding this will help instruct how to deal better with money. And it also gives us ground for grace when we or people that we know, people that we love, do some crazy things for money. So if you're not financially perfect yet, take heart. Don't feel bad about yourself. Despite dedicating my life to the art and science of effective money management and creating wealth, I'm not financially perfect yet either. And that's because of the scientific fact that personal finance is more personal than it is finance. So keep coming back each week as we give you these mindset messages, and over time, once you keep reading the blogs, listening to the podcast, you'll get better with money as well. I hope you enjoyed this two-part special series of 40 investment lessons that I've learned over the last 40 years, and I hope you're going to get some benefit moving forward for yourself. By the way, if you did get some benefit, why not help others who you think would benefit as well? Just tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast, or use the share button on the podcast app you're listening to right now. Of course, you can catch me in between these twice weekly shows on social media. Just look for Michael Yardney, or why not join our private Facebook group? Go to the Property Update private Facebook group on Facebook, where every day I leave you some content, things I don't share elsewhere. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney Podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney Podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?